Lord, message number 205. The title of the message is Evangelism, Part 5. And we will speak about here that God has given us as a church a new way and a new door that He opened to us to spread His word and the message of salvation to the people, and that through our care to those who are harmed, to those who are injured, crippled, or those who are underprivileged and at the edge of the society, and those who are under the work of the power of darkness. The first scripture that we're going to read is from Luke chapter 10, and you read verse 30 to verse 37. And that is the Good Samaritan who helped the victim. This story we know it very well. Let's read it so that we can grasp more insight about how we can evangelize and what is the message of evangelism and what is the love of God that God really wants us to show and to extend to the people who are injured and who are crippled. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30 to verse 37. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless this time, and I pray you anoint my lips and arrange the message in the way that you want it to flow in the life of your church and the life of your people. I do pray, Lord, the purpose of sending this message would be accomplished, and many will raise up to serve you with a clear understanding and wisdom, and you will enable us to help and to reach out many who are underprivileged or injured, orphans, widows, and those people who are under the power of darkness and enslaved to Satan or whatever power. Oh Lord, I do pray for enablement of the Holy Spirit to do this ministry faithfully. Lord, go before us, Holy Spirit, strengthen us and give us the spiritual gifts and authorities that we need to go on and serve you. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage that we have read speak about how the priest and the Levite, when he saw the half-dead person, the victim, they avoided him. But the Samaritan man, when he saw the victim, he responded to the call of God and moved, and he did the needful things. We need to do the same. And the scripture that we have read, it helps us to see certain points that we need to observe in our effort to evangelize and bring the message and bring the love of God to the people who are. God has sent us to them, and God has sent them to us. The first point is to remove the victim from the area of danger. It is important things to do as first aid is to remove those new people that God had sent us to them, or God has sent them to us. We need to remove them from the hands of robbers and thieves, or whatever thing that worsen their condition and make them further go down and deteriorate. There are certain people who are harmed by the work of the devil, like the effect of usury, the effect of wasting money, and whatever deception or whatever wrong advices that they are influenced by. We need to free them from these injuries and move them away from area of dangers. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Lord say, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. As you move forward, as we move forward and evangelize, we are the servant of the Lord Jesus. And we are called to help those that we are reaching and to deliver them from the hand of devil and his vices. You know, we have read that the Samaritan man brought the victim to a safe place. You need, and we need to bring the people that we are reaching to safe places so that they can recover peacefully and enjoy the goodness of the Lord. We need to help them and move them away from the source of danger. If you find somebody is burning under the effect of fire, you move him away from fire and cover his body with a blanket so that fire will go away. Same way, whatever work of the devil and how much we can move the victim, move those souls, new soul that God is sending us to them, move them away from the source of harm and danger. The second point that we learn from the story of the man who helped that half dead person is to deal with the victim directly and not through other people or through intermediate. You know, there are many in the body of Christ who collect money in the name of the Lord to help victims and injured people. You know, but many also, they just collect money and they use their money and use that money for their personal benefit and personal interest. Those people who collect money, they could be like the priest or the Levite who saw the victim and did nothing for him. We need to be careful. We need to deal directly with the victim, not through other people or intermediate. That is very important point that we want to make it very clear, that you cannot use your money to help people without putting your hands. The man who helped the victim, as we read in the scripture, he was traveling. When he saw the victim, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He went to him, he bandaged the wound. When he mentioned bandaged the wounds, he saw the wound. He examined the wounds and check what are the damage and what are the disabilities. Then he put the needful things for effective evangelism. We need to see the wounds and the stripes and examine carefully the damage there and assess the disability so that we will know what advice we give or what decision or measure we need to undertake in order to help the people. You cannot give your money without putting your hand. Giving money is not the right way that God wants us to evangelize. We need to move forward and examine those people, their life, their situation carefully. We need to have a good input of how they are suffering. We need to check by ourselves. Then we can decide what we need to do. The next point, you cannot use your money without physical suffering. The Samaritan man carried the victim and put him on his donkey till he brought him to the inn. There is no white job in serving the Lord. Suffering is part and parcel for effective evangelism. There's no way that somebody, you give him the money and he will go and carry and you just sit down. No, that is not what the Lord recommends us to do. You cannot use your resources without using your physical and putting your physical input into the life of those people who are injured, whom the Lord had sent you or the Lord has sent us to help. The next point is spend when it is required. There's a time that we need to spend money in order that we will be able to extend further our spiritual care and follow up. In what we have read, when the Samaritan man brought the victim, the next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. So we need to spend money when it is needed in order that we will be able to extend further our spiritual care and follow up. In such circumstances, yes, in addition, we are putting our effort, our physical strength and physical suffering, then add to them the financial contribution. We need to contribute financially also to the evangelism. The next point is follow-up is an important step for evangelism. The Samaritan man said to the innkeeper, "And when I return?" So he said that I will come back. The Samaritan man, he did not throw the victim to the innkeeper, but he said, "I will come back," because he knew that he needed to follow up the person in order to complete the work that God had called him to do in that person's life. You need to understand, we need to understand as a church, that evangelism will only be possible when accompanied by proper follow-up to the people that God had called you to disciple. Without follow-up, without program of follow-up, without putting in your mind that you will follow up those people who are responding, then you are not doing well. Further scripture that help us to understand how evangelism is possible and the right way of evangelism in reaching those people who are underprivileged. James chapter 1 verse 27 say that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. The scripture that we read speak about caring for widows and orphans. Evangelism is to bring the word of God and His love to those who are underprivileged. And one of these categories that are that they are underprivileged are the widows and the orphans. Widows and orphans are the concern of God, and from the Old Testament we can find scripture speak about God recommend His people to care for the widows and orphans. In book of Deuteronomy chapter 26 verse 12, the Lord say, "When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levites, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. The Israelites were responsible before God to care for the widows and the orphans who were around them. In every town there were widows and orphans. The people were made accountable to look after them. God loved the widows and the orphans, and He provided for them. And widows and orphans were by no means abandoned by God. The Lord, in His love and plan, is to provide for them. As we have read in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verse 12, that on the third year they were to set a part of their tithe to support the widows and the orphans. God loved the widows. We can read another story how God cared for the widows. In First Kings chapter 17, verse 7 to 5, this is the story where the Lord sent His servant, the prophet Elijah, to a house of a widow to care for him. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, and "Bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and made a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first made a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son." So here we have widow and orphan. Verse 14, "For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her, so there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. You know, in this passage, God was made it very clear that God would provide for this widow after she had heard and applied and obeyed the word of God that Elijah preached to her. In verse 13, we read that Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid, go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son." The woman obeyed the instruction. We have read that the Lord sent Elijah to the woman to feed him, but actually God was sending the prophet Elijah to that widow and her son in order to provide for her. And we were able to see that God provided for her and for her son. When she heard the message, obeyed and applied the message, the provision of God continued to flow to her and to her continued to flow to her and to her child. What we can conclude here that the provision of God to widows and orphans is accompanied by their obedience and their application to the word of God. When that widow obeyed Elijah, God promise came through in her life. Elijah was sent by God to that woman so that the Lord would provide for her, as he sent her a servant, as he sent his word through his servant, and as she obeyed, the Lord supply and provided for her needs. Our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned that event in the New Testament in Luke chapter 4, verse 24 to 26. The Lord say, I tell you the truth, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. Elijah was not sent to the widows of Israel because they were not willing to hear and apply the word of God. So when they were not willing to hear and apply and obey the word of God, not only that Elijah was not sent to them, but they did not receive the provision of God, and God did not provide their needs because they were disobedient to the Lord. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 26, the Lord also mentioned that, and there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrians. You know, Naaman was cleansed because he obeyed the instruction of Elisha the prophet when he told him, you go and wash yourself, and he mentioned to him the place that he need to bathe himself. At first, as we know the story of Naaman, he was reluctant because he say, why I came this long distance, I can't take wash in my place, and we have better water. But as he humbled himself and obeyed the instruction of Elisha the prophet, he was cleansed from his leprosy. What you want to say, that evangelism and showing the love of God to the widows and orphans and to the rest of the underprivileged category, like the sick, those in the prison, and the rest of those who are under the power of darkness and who are half dead or victim, is never without discipleship and emphasizing on holiness. You must know and understand that giving and caring without emphasizing on holiness is neither evangelism nor God's love. You cannot say, I am evangelizing. You are giving material things, you are giving food, you are giving money, you are giving clothes, you are laying your hands and praying without giving the word of God and emphasizing on holiness. That is not evangelism, and that is not the love of God that he wants us to carry to the people who are around us. Many of you, I believe that you have a kind heart, you have a good heart, you want to give to the people, you want to help the people, that is good and fine. But if you would help without understanding, without emphasizing on holiness, then the devil will abuse you, and he will abuse your resources, and you will not have the fruit. You need to be sensitive to the call of God. Elijah was a man of God. Elijah was a man of God. And they respond carefully to what God really wants them to do. And helping the underprivileged and those who have been afflicted by the work of darkness. Further direction about the topic, and especially about the life of widows, we can read in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, from we read from verse 3 onward. Say, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. Here God instructs the church through Paul that the widows, they should be cared of by their children, and those who are having grandchildren, and the church should give a proper recognition to those widows who are in need. A widow in need, we will check she has children, she has grandchildren, then we have to go to them and we tell them that you should help your mother or your grandmother. Verse 5, the widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. Here, emphasizing that we will look after the widows if the widows are surely living a clean life, had put her hope in the Lord and continue to pray day and night and ask God for help. So here we concern for the widows who are obedient to the word of God. You know, the children and the grandchildren and the church are responsible to care for the widows, and in return the widows should show dedication to God and put their trust on Him by showing their obedience to the word of God. We can read further about that. Verse 6. But the widow who lives for a pleasure is dead even while she lives. Now here, when you put this verse here, we are not called to care for widows in the name of the Lord if the widow is living for a pleasure. Worldly, she like parties, she go with men, or having immoral affair. No, that is not evangelism, that is not, we are caring for widows. Verse 7, give the people this instruction too, so that no one may be open to blame. We cannot keep caring for widows and put them under our care and in our houses if they are living in sin. In verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's very clear that we need to provide for our family. But once the Lord put it in this setup, not only we give them food, but we should impart to them the word of God. We should impart to them the discipline. We cannot provide for widows and they are living in sin and they are bringing bad testimony, and they are putting the blame. The widows who are immoral or are doing sin or living a life not pleasing to the Lord, then 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8 is not a recommendation for her. Verse 9, no widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, she is old age, has been faithful to her husband. So here as a church, when we care for widows, that she have to be above 60, she is faithful to the husband. These all things we have to observe. verse 10, and is well known for her good deeds. She has ministry, she is a servant of God, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kind of good deeds. Now here we are called to help those widows who are willing and who are helping themselves by obeying the instruction of the word of God. Now Elijah, when he was sent to that widow, he gave her the word of God. She obeyed, and that's how God provide for her and provide for the man of God. We must understand, if you are helping widows or mothers or grandmothers who are not obedient to the Lord, I'm not telling you not help. I'm not telling you don't help. But I'm saying, if you will give only cash and money and food without the word of God, without putting a discipline and instruction for that widow to follow from God's word, you are not helping her. Whatever you give, it will not have effect or a fruit or a blessing in her life. You need to consider the message carefully. Evangelism is only possible when discipleship is go along our evangelism. Extend our physical efforts, financial efforts only will be effective if it is in the frame of discipleship and preaching and teaching the word of God to the people that we are reaching. Commit yourself to God. God wants you to be wise, because God does not want you to spend your effort but there's no fruit. You cannot give help and money, shelter, without giving or planning to give the word of God. Let's come to the Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word that you sent your church to us to abide and to apply. We know, Lord, that you have sent this message for a purpose. Let your purpose prevail. Raise up people who have understanding. And Lord, we are willing to go forward. And Lord, I am willing to go forward to help, to carry, to exercise love, to extend hands, to support physically, financially, Lord, to give advice, to disciple, to preach and teach your word, O God. Here am I, Lord. Send me, Lord, and equip me with the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that I will help those people who are underprivileged or injured or who are victim or half dead. Oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus for everyone who pray from his heart and get himself to apply the message. Lord, use him mightily and effectively, oh God. I pray you, Lord, open doors for us. We are willing to go forward and save you. Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory, God. Let your hands be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, in Christ's name. Amen and amen.